Hello, 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 and welcome back to Release a Podcast, where our motto is letting go of things that hold you back. I am Cynthia Haynes.
And I am Harold Weaver, and this week's topic is going to be Name It, to Claim It, to Defeat It. And since going to start us off with a passage, and we're going to jump right into this one.
Okay, so I'm coming out of Mark 5, verses 2 through 13. And it says that when Jesus got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with the unclean spirit met him. And the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been bound with shackles for the feet and with chains, and he tore apart the clothes and broke the shackles into pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him and tame him. Night and day he was consistently screaming and shrieking among the tombs and on the mountains and cutting himself with sharp stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him. And screaming with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have in common with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." He was asking him, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began begging him repeatedly not to send them out of the region. Now there was a large herd of pigs grazing there on the mountain. And the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the pigs so that we may go into them." Jesus gave them permission. The unclean spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And then the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea, and they were drowned in the sea. So basically where we're coming from is that when Jesus saw this man, they knew that he was being tormented. They knew it was many demonic entities. But it seems like even though Jesus was telling it to come out, it didn't come out until he said, "What's your name?" And then once it got named, he told it had to go. And he sent them to the pigs, and then the pigs drowned themselves because those demonic entities made the pigs go crazy. So the main thing that I wanted to touch on and talk about is that if we're trying to be set free, if we're trying to be delivered, if we're trying to be unstuck, it might not be that we're not praying the right thing. It might be that we just haven't named the thing so that we can get free from it. Mm-hmm. Give it a name. You know what type of spirit you have that you're carrying around with, and we can't keep giving excuses of saying, "Well, this is just how I am." Because once we became a believer and we acknowledged that God was our God, then something inside of us was supposed to change. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to have God's spirit in us, we can't have God's spirit in us and another type of spirit in us, because it's not going to be enough room. Mm-hmm. And so it's not until you start facing the truth and naming it, as ugly as it might be, mm-hmm. if you never name it to claim it, you'll never defeat it. Mm-mm. Okay, go ahead.
Look at you. Anyway, what you guys don't know is that we didn't struggle, but we did go back and forth on this topic because we didn't really know how we was going to come out and discuss it where it wouldn't be misunderstood and confusing. So, you know, we went back and forth, and it was different ways we could have started out with it. But I said, you know what, let's just start talking about it. And as the thoughts come, we can implement them in our topic and we can implement them in our point. So to name it, to claim it, to defeat it. What does that mean? Y'all know how I come. Y'all know how I do. I have you guys ask yourselves first, what does that mean? Then we go into it to give you either another angle, another consideration, or another thought to add to what you came up with. So for me, it's like Sin said, whatever it is you're going through, if you haven't given it a name, then you need to. And why is that? That way you can identify it. Every time it happens, every time, you know, you see yourself either with that person or dealing with some type of scenario or situation, whether it be good or bad, if you give it a name, then it'll be easier to recognize it when you have to deal with it. And from there, you can claim it. You can claim it. You can either claim it to be yours or claim it to not be yours anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a process. Mm-hmm. It's a process. That's what we ended up agreeing on, mm-hmm. that if we think of it as a process, as a step-by-step, then it'll be easy to talk about it. And that's what we decided we was going to do. And that's all we're doing. That's all we're talking about. Put everything in perspective in some type of process, some type of formula, and watch what happens next. Name whatever you're going through. Name whatever you're going through. Name whatever it be, good or bad, that you're going through. That way you can claim it, you can remember it, you can acknowledge it, and you can better deal with it. It won't be no surprise if you have to run up against it. It's something that you would have seen before. It's something that you probably would have dealt with before, got through it, got past it. But if you don't name it, then you're not going to see it coming. You're not going to see yourself still in it dealing with it. If you haven't had an opportunity to claim it, then you definitely ain't going to defeat it. Well, guess what? You're going to keep dealing with it, and it's going to keep defeating you. And what happens from there? Well, most of the time, you're blaming somebody else for your issues. You're blaming somebody else for your troubles. You're blaming somebody else for your hardships. When all you had to really do is give that thing a name. If you're going through some hard times, call it hard times. So that way, when you see it coming, you can run the other way, or you can do what you did to get past it and do it again. Claim them hard times. Claim them good times. Claim them bad relationships. Claim them good ones. Whatever it is, give it a name so you can claim it. Like I said, to either be yours or not anymore. That way, when it comes back around, you can deal with it. If not the same way you did the first time to get past it, better. That's how we learn from doing better than what we did last time. But how do we get to that part? How do we get to that piece? We process it. We give it a name. We claim it. We acknowledge it. Then we defeat it. And then we have no excuse whatsoever to have to go through it again. We have no excuse to be blaming somebody else. We have no excuse to be pointing at other people for what we can and will get through if we put it in the process formula. Name it to claim it. And then you will defeat it. And then you definitely got to pray on it. I'm going to go ahead and say pray on it first. If you're already struggling with what we're talking about already, then you need to be praying on that. Pray on a process. Ask God for whatever you haven't had and can't think you can get on your own. Ask him for it. And I promise you, we talk about this every week anyway. He's got the answer. It might not be the one you want to hear. It might not be the one that you feel like you need. Well, guess what? If God can't give it to you, you definitely ain't going to give it to yourself. And it can't hurt. It cannot hurt to at least give him a try. Or at least consider what he's guiding you to do. Consider what he's giving you in your mind and your thoughts to think about that for whatever reason. You put a roadblock up to say, that can't be right. That can't be it. Well, guess what? That can't be it could be just it that you've been needing and wanting to put a name on it, to claim it, to acknowledge it, to defeat it, and then give him his glory and his grace when it's all said and done. Come on, Sam.
And I was just thinking about, you know, we talked about on one episode, we talked about keys. This is a key. One thing that this Matthew 18 talked about was that whatever you bound on earth will be bound in heaven. So if you never name it or claim it, how is it going to be bound in heaven? How can you bind it here on earth if you don't never name it? You know, I talked about there's different, you know, our kids, let's say those of you who have kids, our kids are out in the community every day in public school, wherever they're going, and they're around different types of spirits. And you don't know who they're connecting with, but you know when they come home, they have a different personality, or they coming in here and they trying you. Well, guess what? That's a spirit. So if you don't name it, then you would keep on dealing with that thing in your household until you name it so it can be claimed and so it can be defeated. So that's just one thing. I remember, and I still do this, I'll pray in my house. And I know we used to take the olive oil and you put it on the doors and you the anointing oil and you pray. And I would always say,
The holy water.
Whatever is not of God cannot cross over this threshold and come in this house. It can't come up in here. It got to stay outside. But that was one way of keeping, making sure that certain spirits or certain things couldn't come in the house. And then you got to decide, like you said, who you're going to be around. Because if you're around people and you can see the spirit on that person, and you keep dealing with the same situation with that person, if you're not that type of friend where you can claim it and let them know, call it out so you don't have to deal with it no more, you probably need to cut them loose. You don't need that around you, especially if you're trying to go somewhere, if you're trying to be somebody, if you're trying to make
prosper.
It right and make it to your future. Mm-hmm. At some point, we got to grow up and we got to put on our grown people pants and we got to start naming things and calling it what it is. Mm-hmm. If I have a spirit of lying, I need to call that thing out and call it what it is. Mm-hmm. I can't keep using the excuse, well, that's how I was brought up. Well, that's what I've been around. Because guess what? I am a new individual when I accepted Christ in my life. When I said God was going to be my God and I asked God to change me, then that means I had to let go of all that stuff. I can't use that excuse no more because that's not me. That's not who God wants me to be. And I don't believe I want to be that. There's also a spirit of infirmity. Infirmity means a spirit of disease, a spirit of just something that's trying to keep you sick and bound. And I know I would go around and I would say, I know my grandma had diabetes. Somebody had heart problems. Somebody had cancer. That's not going to be my destiny. I am not claiming that spirit. Those spirits infirmity is not going to be a part of my destination. I'm going to cancel that thing and call it out so that way my children don't have to even deal with those spirits. Harold.
Now, if you notice, everything that Cynthia just said basically had a name to it. And that's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. That's all we're talking about. We're trying to get you guys to understand the importance of naming something so it can expand. So you can expand it. Not just single-handedly, specifically put it on something. Put it on everything. Name everything. Good or bad. Just name it. That way you can claim it, you can acknowledge it, and recognize it, and do something with it. You can decide as you go through the process what you're going to do with it when you get to the processing portion. Name it. I had one, I lost it just that quick when he was talking about the children. I got it back just that quick. Look at Lord. Look at Lord. Entitlement. That's a name.
That's a spirit.
What kind of name and spirit is that? Well, I can tell you from experience, it's what our children today feel that they have. And it's killing them. And it's killing me watching them kill themselves. Majority of the kids that I've been seeing and dealing with feel like they're entitled to the world and don't even know what's out there in the world to be feeling and thinking that they're entitled to it.
And let's be
honest. Where does that even come from? Don't let me go there first.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you want to go first?
I was just going to say, they got grown people.
That's where I was going. Let's go together. But we already know. Yeah. Most of us as parents that's come up in the old school way know where this is coming from. But at the same time, A, it's not too late. B, how long are we going to use this as an excuse? What we need to do as the more mature parent is to get more involved. To get more involved. What does that even mean? What does that mean, Harold? Well, I'm going to give an example. If you have children that are parents, and for whatever reason they done forgot what they've been taught, teach them again. Teach them again. Teach them and your grandchildren, if that's what it takes, together. That's the only way we're going to get to the other side. If we don't do it now, it's not going to happen. It's either now or never. We have to get more involved. I know it's a lot easier said than done, but we can't keep saying that either. We got to get rid of excuses. The time has come that excuses are not even allowed. It's unacceptable. We don't have time for an excuse. We either going to do it or we not. We either going to make it happen or we not. We either want to make it happen or we don't. There's no more excuses. None whatsoever. You either get it or you don't. And what I'm saying is, what I'm suggesting for us grandparents, we got to teach our children and our grandchildren. If that's what it takes, we just got to go back. And we have to show them that that works. What we learned, how we was taught, works. If it takes for us to give them examples of the difference, then by all means, that's what we need to do. by all necessary means. That's what we need to do. And I'm telling you, I have no problem teaching my daughters, my sons, what I was taught. And now that I'm a grandfather, I can't wait to teach them as well. And they ain't even got to be talking yet. I'm teaching them right now what I remember I was taught when I was crawling. When I was waiting to get my diaper changed next. Do I remember that far? I don't know. But I know what I was taught after I got to the point where I had to change them. When I got to the point where I had to take care of my brothers. That's what we need to get involved in. That we have to stop letting the schools teach for us. We have to stop letting social media. We have to stop letting TVs. We have to stop letting anybody and everybody else teach our children but ourselves. Now, once we give it to them, they're going to decide what to do with it. We can't make them do anything. But we can't keep walking around feeling like it was our fault because we didn't do our part. We can't blame the teachers in the schools. We can't blame the coaches. We can't blame nobody. If we haven't done our part, then we have no reason whatsoever to be blaming somebody else. What goes wrong with inside of our circle? Come on.
I was just, dang, you done made me forget. I was thinking about something. I don't know, because you was getting it. You was on a roll.
I be getting it.
Okay.
Somebody got to get it.
But I was thinking about even like depression. That's a spirit.
Yeah. And depression. It's a name.
Yep. It's a spirit.
Name it. You have to deal with it.
You have to detach yourself from it. You have to. You might not feel like getting up, but that don't mean that you sit there and you say, I'm just going to stay like this and I'm going to claim it. Oh, I'm just depressed and you just stay there. No, it's a process. It's not something easy, but it's every day you take one day at a time, one step at a time. And you say that one day, I'm getting up. I might not feel like it, but I'm getting up. And this spirit of depression has to let me go. You don't have to be bound to these things, but you do have to divorce these things. You can't keep saying I'm connected to it and I'm this and I'm that. Was that the last episode I talked about? When I said, I said I had high blood pressure. I'm steady claiming it and putting it on myself. Oh, no, I'm overcoming that. That used to be a part of my life. That's not a part of my life now. And is it not just, it's not just saying a whole bunch of stuff, but it's also taking action. Now, I can't keep saying I'm not going to have it and don't change the way I eat. I can't say I'm going to do this and I don't put no action behind it. Because that's what we said faith is. Faith is an action word. You just can't claim a whole bunch of stuff and do nothing. That means you got to change your behaviors. You got to change how you talk. You got to change who you hanging with. You got to change what you listening to. You have to guard.
Everything matters.
Everything matters. And I mean, my middle daughter was saying with her oldest son, she started paying attention to, he started having this little attitude and it was getting more snappier. Like he would just, you know, and then she started realizing, she prayed about it. It was the music that he was listening to. So they had to start listening to what he was listening to. And then they start saying, oh no, we're changing that. Whatever, this is what you can, and they put restrictions on his phone or whatever. Did he like it? No. But guess what? When he grow up, he gonna realize it. And that was one thing that they talked about in the church this weekend. He was saying he remember when, you know, growing up, how you couldn't go stay at everybody's house. I remember all people I could stay house with my cousins, and that was even suspect. But you couldn't go talk about spending the night somewhere. Oh, no, you won't. You might go and visit, but you ain't spending the night. You're not even going. You better stay in the neighborhood. But, of course, when you're growing up, you don't like that stuff. Yeah, they're going to have attitude. But you can't feel guilty for being a parent that's caring. Because like he said, once you grew up, now you realize what the dangers is going on. You don't know how other people living. But you have to break that spirit of rebellion. That's another spirit, rebellion. Call that thing out and say that it cannot operate in your house, period.
And don't be afraid to come out of denial state of mind as well.
Yeah.
Okay, because that can handle you too. That can handle you as well, just being in a state of denial.
Yeah.
That's going to slow you down. That's gonna put you back. It's going to put you back. And have you starting all over again when you shouldn't have to. All you have to do, even if it's a bad acknowledgement, you have to get to that step first before you can get to the next step to do anything about it. So don't be afraid to acknowledge something. Get out of that state of mind of denying. or not acknowledging mm-hmm. what could be bad for you mm-hmm. to just claim it.
Yeah.
Like I said, no matter how bad it is, to get past it, you got to claim it.
Yeah.
We can't claim it for you, and you can't have somebody else claim it for you. Because those are just excuses. Like I said, we done ran out of those.
Yeah.
As a people,
yeah.
we done ran out of those.
Yeah.
Come on, Sam.
Yeah. And I was just thinking, this is the last thing, but today this just happened. So I'm going to be doing a weekly, it's called Community Connect. So I created this group where we all can come together. We can have open conversation on different things or whatever. So I had to do a flyer for it. So I go to the assistant and I say, hey, this is a military side. And I say, hey, I got this flyer. This is what I'm going to do. What's the best
course of action
to, either distribute it, put it out or whatever. So, and they said it was going to be providing food. So I'm going to get like little sandwiches, little finger stuff, nothing that's going to cost a whole bunch of money. Well, he told me, oh, food. So I was like, yeah. So anyway, he said, well, one thing, you know, you don't want to go and buy all this stuff and you only have two people that show up. So right there,
he's claiming it for you.
I'm like, I rebuke that. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to take that low expectation. If God has put this on my heart to do something, I'm expecting a great return on what God is telling me to do. So I could have sat there and let him put that in my mind and me meditate on that. And then I would have already defeated what it was I'm supposed to be doing. So you got to watch, like I said, who you listening to, who in your ear. Okay, I'm done.
don't leave your vision in somebody else's eyes.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line there. I got it.
Okay.
You got to tell them where to go to give us some feedback.
Oh, yeah. So any comments, any concerns, any topics that you'd like us to talk to, reach to us at releaseitpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Rate us on the apps that you listen to us on. Share, and spread this podcast to friends, family, whoever.
Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for another amazing podcast. Thank you for continuing to strengthen us in our words, in our vision, in our thoughts, that we know what we're doing. You put us here to do, because we're still doing it. And we're not slowing down. We're just getting started. And we thank you and we give you all the glory and the grace for who you are and what you do for us all as a whole. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week, y'all.
We out.